Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this message. When I went to bed last night, I kind of put everything together because I didn't know. I'm like, Lord, how are we going to tie all this together? And I sat down at the laptop last night and I started typing from my notes in my notebook. And it's like I was typing faster than the words was going on the screen. And I'm like, okay. And I had to slow down typing. I know it was God, it was nobody but God that was using my hands. I'm like, okay, so you're pulling all of this together. And it was just so amazing. And when I came to bed, because Jesse went to bed before me, I was wrapping this up. And I said, Jesse, I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited about this. But God is just, he's so good. And I know, like with the other teachers, as well as our pastors, when we're studying for this and reading different things, God just opens things up. You know, you get a better understanding about different things and you see things in a different way, you know. And then once you learn that, you're accountable for it. You're accountable. God's going to hold us accountable for it because, okay, I've shown you this revelation. Okay, now you got to walk in it. So, but it's a good thing when God does that. But anyway, I'm getting ahead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. What an awesome praise and worship. What an awesome way to usher your presence in this place with us. You and the Holy Spirit, y'all are welcome. Have your way in this place. All of you and none of me. And Father, we just bind every scheme, every attack, every tactic, and every assignment the enemy has sent to come against this church tonight and your people. We bind it right now and we lose your peace. We lose your power. We lose your anointing, Father. And we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, I went back and forth with titles, and then last night he gave me the title, and the title of the message is prayer, just prayer. Is prayer, just prayer. And in Kenneth Hagin's book, which I've based my messages on for the past few months, What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. This is such an awesome book. It's a small book, but it's a powerful book. It's such an awesome book. And while I was reading the one particular chapter, Ask God in Faith, Nothing Wavering. And that's the title of that particular chapter that my message is based off tonight. And in reading that, it mentioned one of his other books, The Art of Prayer. So I got a little snippet out of that, as well as, you know, for what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. But the scripture to back that up as far as ask God in faith, nothing wavering, is James 1 and 6. And this is the Living Version. But when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind would be unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So when we ask, we got to be ready to expect to hear from him when we ask. That's why when, this is a side journey, Holy Spirit just brought it to me. When we use the Lord's name in vain, when we're not calling on him for something, we're just, you know, people stump their toe or just, oh, Jesus, oh, God, and they're not talking to him. Uh-huh. See, his face turns towards us, and he's waiting for us to say something, uh-huh. but we're using his name in vain uh-huh. at that point because we're not asking him for nothing. We're just saying his name. So we have to be careful what we say because when we speak his name, his face turns towards us. Uh-huh. He's waiting for his child. Just like you hear a kid say, for mamas. We hear a kid say, mama in the store, our heads turn. No one ain't got no child with us. But we hear mama and our head turns. Uh-huh. Why is God any different? He hears God. He hears Jesus. He turns towards us. But we're not saying anything. Okay, that's a side journey. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. But expect to hear from him. What stood out to me when I was typing this out, the word unsettled stood out to me. And it stood out to me because you know that feeling when your stomach is unsettled? That is not a good feeling. That's how our spirit is when we don't believe what we're asking. That's how our spirit is, that feeling, that unsettledness. But that word stood out to me. We can't waver. That's how our spirit is when we waver in our faith. We must believe what we are asking is truly ours without wavering. And this leads me into the different types of prayers. There are many different types of prayers. And of course, I can't go into all of those tonight. But we sometimes lump all prayers just as prayer. But as Lee Corso say, not so fast, my friends. Not so fast. In reality, the way we pray depends on the situation at the time that we may be facing, someone we love may be facing, or what have you, something we found out about. But it depends on that. As Kenneth Hagin states in his book, the same rules would not apply to all kinds of prayer. And he used the analogy of sports, which is right down my alley. We can't say, oh, all sports is just sports. Right. We really can't. You got basketball, you got football, you got golf, you got tennis, you got all these different sports. And that's just to name a few. Swimming, all these sports, track and field. We just had the Olympics. We saw an array of sports, the gymnastics. There are all kinds of sports, all types of sports, but we can't lump them all together because they have different rules. They have different guidelines. Just imagine seeing someone out there playing golf, and then some dude come running to them, trying to tackle them when they're trying to swing the club. That would be so funny and confusing at the same time. So why are we lumping prayer together, saying prayer, oh, it's just prayer. Oh, prayer is just prayer. No, it's not. Sports are not just sports. Sports are not just sports. We can't do that. The same rules does not apply. You can't apply football rules to golf. You can't apply swimming rules to golf. You can't apply swimming rules to gymnastics. You can't apply tennis rules to basketball. You can't do that. They're different. It's different types of sports. They're all sports, but they're different types of sports with different rules and different guidelines. We have prayers, but there's different types of prayers with different rules and different guidelines that we have to follow in order for our prayers to get answered. Amen. And so that was just, that really stood out to me. It really brought it home when he did that analogy with sports. But our prayers may not be answered because of how we are praying. When we truly pray the way that God has given us in his word, we can see and we will see God move so mightily in our lives and in the lives of others. We can truly see it in our churches. We can see it if we pray how he's told us to pray. Even in the scripture, Ephesians 6:18, it talks all about the praying in all prayer. With all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion, and in every season in the Spirit. And with this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. There's different types of prayer. And if you really break that scripture down and read it in different versions, you can see it's talking about different types of prayers. Now, I'm going to go over some types of prayers that I read about in Kenneth Hagin's book, The Art of Prayer. And the first one is the prayer of consecration. Okay, so that is, you know, to go somewhere, to do something, and we can use the phrase, Lord, if it's your will. Because it's just spelled out in the scriptures. You see what I'm saying? So, Lord, is this job the one that I need to go to apply for or to accept? Father God, is this the place where I need to move? Is this the car I need to buy? Is this the person I need to marry? If it's your will. That's when we apply if it's your will. You know, Luke 22:42 says, Father, just like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was a prayer of consecration because he said, Father, if you are willing, please don't make me drink from this cup, but do what you want and not what I want. That was what it was about, because he was asking God, if that's your will, please take this cup from me because I do not want to do this. That's how he gave us a good example right there. The prayer of commitment is just is casting our cares on the Lord. That's what that is, just casting, Lord, here, just take it. I cannot handle this. Take it. Whatever the situation may be that you're facing or someone else is facing and you're praying and you're interceding for them. And some of them can be intertwined together, like interceding for someone regarding this, the prayer of intercession. But in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Side note, Christians, we have a tendency, we'll cast them when we're there, we're praying, we'll cast them, Lord, I just put all this right here. Soon as we get up, we pick it right back up, put it in our backpack and walk away and slumped all over. Why do we do that? Cast once and for all. The prayer of worship, and I'm a worshiper. I love worship. The prayer of worship, Luke 24:52-53. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, fully understanding that he lives and that he is the Son of God. And they were continually in the temple blessing and praising God. Worship is a continuing thing. You ain't got to be doing all of this or clapping or singing. Worship, you can worship in your heart. You can worship while you're working. Yeah. Worship while you're driving. You can worship. But that's the prayer of worship. Lord, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for watching over my family. Thank you for watching over me as we travel, Father God. I thank you. That is a prayer of worship. You're worshiping him. And while you're doing that, your spirit just get all, whoo. It's just, there's no words for it. The prayer of agreement. Matthew 18. And I'm reading verses, I think 18 through 20. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth should have already been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind and in harmony about anything they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. Agreement. When we come in here together, when we do our confessions, that's agreement, two or more gathered. That's agreement. When we stand with our brother or our sister in prayer about something, that's agreement. When we bind and loose with someone else or what have you, that's we're praying in a prayer of agreement. So again, there's different types of prayers. It has different guidelines. Then we have the prayer in the spirit, which is praying in tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14:14-15, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive, but it does not understand what my spirit is praying. Then what am I to do? I will pray with the spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is within me, and I will pray with the mind using words I understand. I was seeing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me. And I was seeing with the mind using words I understand. Because sometimes when you are praying in the Spirit, you do go to words in English. It all depends. It all depends. You go back and forth.
That's right.
You go back and forth. Because when we're praying in the Spirit is when we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to pray. United prayer. And this is, I was debating whether or not to read this full scripture, but I need to get for everyone to get a full understanding. And it's Acts 4, 23, verse 23 through 31. And that's Acts 4, verse 23 through 31. After Peter and John were released, they returned to their own people and reported everything that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they raised their voices together and said, O sovereign Lord, having complete power and authority, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the nations, the Gentiles, become arrogant and rage, and the people devise futile things against the Lord? The kings of the earth took their stand to attack, and the rulers were assembled together against the Lord and against his anointed, the Christ, the Messiah. For in this city there were gathered together against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined before the creation of the world to occur. And so without knowing it, they served your own purpose. And know, Lord, observe their threats, take them into account, and grant that your bond servants may declare your message of salvation and great confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name, the authority and power of your holy servant, Son Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were meeting together was shaken, a sign of God's presence, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness and courage. United prayer. And I read all of that just to give the backdrop. They were all gathered together when they had arrested Jesus and doing all of this to Jesus. And that's what he was saying. They didn't realize they were fulfilling the purposes of God at that moment. Jesus didn't want to go through all of that, but he said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. But they got together and they were praying and they felt the anointing, the Holy Spirit, God's presence there. I don't know, it's been a couple, maybe three times in my Christian walk where I've felt a natural presence. You can just touch it. I don't know how to explain it. The presence of God. The very first time, it was at a women's conference up at Callaway Gardens, and I saw like clouds on the floor. It was cloudy, and it was such an awesome experience feeling that presence of God. I felt it, I think, once here when it's amazing to feel that presence, that true tangible, that's the word I was looking for, that true tangible presence of God. It's such an awesome feeling. It is such an awesome feeling. And that's what they had. After Jesus had died and ascended, that's what they had, that true tangible presence at that time when the Holy Spirit ascended. It was, And prayer of faith. This is based on God's word. This is when we do not use the word if. Because if it's in God's word, it's done. There is no if, ands, or buts about it. We do not, Lord, what if is your will for me to be healed? It is his will.
Yeah.
There's no need to use the word if. It's whether or not we will receive that healing. It's up to us to walk in it. We don't use the word if then. Mark 11:24. For this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them, and they will be given to you. Matthew 21:22. And whatever you ask for in prayer, believing, you will receive. This is the prayer I'm going to focus on for the rest of my teaching. It's the prayer of faith. When we are praying the prayer of faith, we must believe what God is saying in His Word. As I stated, this is not an if your will prayer. It's not an if prayer. It is what it is prayer. Amen. These are the promises that God has in His Word for us as Christians, as His children. Healing, abundant life, wholeness, peace. We must believe it and receive it the moment that we speak it. Without doubt in our heart or in our spirit. We may have doubt in our mind, but that's okay. That's okay. But just don't doubt in your spirit, man. Because His Word has already said it. Are we wavering, as it talks about in James 1 and 5? Are we those up and down Christians, you know, on a seesaw? Believing God one moment, doubting Him the next moment. We really do look like a seesaw in our walk of life. And we wonder why the world don't believe us. And we wonder why the world don't want to come in here. And we wonder why the world think we're a bunch of fruits, flakes, and nuts. Because we act like that with a seesaw, up and down, believing God one moment and doubting Him the next. And we're saying these things to unbelievers. So they're looking at us like, oh, okay, that's your God, oh, okay. We can't waver, y'all. Let's break down Mark 11:24 a little bit, as Kenneth Hagin did in his book. And it's just awesome. In the book, When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost, there are five parts. When I was reading it, God broke this down to me as being five parts to this scripture. And this is a scripture of faith to receive from God, okay? But you've got to believe it when you say it, when you pray it. The first one, part of that scripture, is whatever things you ask. One, so what are you asking? And does it align with God's word? Two, you ask for it in prayer. Three, believe. This is in the middle of it all, and I'm going to get back to that one. Four, receive them, what you're asking. Five, they will be given to you. Five parts to that scripture. Let's go back to believe, the middleman. It's in the middle of it all. The two things before it and the two things after it, your believing, your belief is what connects both of those. So if you're not believing, you would never have a bridge to gap that, those two parts of that scripture. That, it connects them. Now, in his book, and I'm going to read this straight from here. Let's see here. And so he's saying, believe what? People asking him, believe what? I believe in God. That's wonderful, but it won't work here. I believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. That's wonderful, but it won't work here. I believe that the Bible is true. That's fine, but it won't work here. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's right and good, but it won't work here. What is it you are supposed to believe? Believe that you receive them. Believe that you receive them, the things that you are praying for. Yes, somebody might say, but I don't have them yet. I know it. And if you had them, you wouldn't have to believe it. You wouldn't know it. Hello. Well, I'm not going to believe I've got something my physical senses don't tell me I have. He said, and I put some stars by this, and okay. He said, you would have to do without it then, because you would never get it. It is just that simple. If you can't believe it until you see it, doubting Thomas, uh-huh. You will not get it. because that's not how faith works. He said in his word that we are healed. He said in his word that we have peace. He said in his word that train a child up in the way that it should go, and when they're old, it would not depart from them. That's what he said in his word. That's a promise. So no need of saying, Lord, if it's your will, bring my child back to church. No! His word says, train the child up in the way that they should go, and when they're old, it would not depart from. When they're older, it would not depart from them. Now, were we all perfect as parents? No. We messed up. Lord, fix what I messed up.
Amen. That's right.
Fix what I messed right. up. It's not if it's his will concerning our children coming back. No, it's not. It's a promise. It's a promise. So we don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will. No, stop. Stop. Glory. And this, what he was saying, this truly, it makes sense. No need to pray for something in the spirit. No need to pray in tongues about something God has already said is ours. Praying in the spirit is when we don't know what to pray. That's what praying in the spirit, when we don't know what to pray. Even if someone, a loved one or someone we know is going through a situation and we don't know what to pray, and because we may not know exactly where a scripture is concerning that, that's when we pray in the spirit. And God will bring it to us. And if you don't know, call somebody. Text somebody. Hey, this is a situation. Do you know a scripture that goes along with it?
Amen.
Somebody will know. Somebody will know. We cannot waver. We must pray and believe intentionally. When we pray, it unlocks the promises of God in his word for us, our families, our church. Prayer is releasing God's will on earth as it is in heaven. That's where prayer is. His promises. His promises. The prayer of faith is just believing and repeating what God has already promised us. Open our mouths only to say what God has already said about us and our situation. And I was listening to, and it wasn't coincidental because it was God. I was listening to Dr. Tony Evans' daughter, Priscilla Shira, yesterday, and it happened to be about prayer. I was just going through YouTube. I said, okay, I haven't listened to her lately. Let me listen to that while I'm working on this report. And I shared it with some people, and it was so good. But she gave this analogy during her message, and I thought it was fitting for this topic. And this is how God kind of wrapped up this. I'm like, you're so good. You are so good, God. But she talked about a crane, the bird, the crane. And when a crane is flying, it naturally squawks. That's just what it does. It naturally squawks. But with them squawking, it allows their predators, their enemy, to know their GPS, their location. So as they get older and mature, they learn to place a rock in their beak and their mouth so they won't squawk as they're flying. Okay? A bird, y'all, and we're humans. Okay, I'm gonna leave it alone. So, they are not allowing the predator to know where they are,
Amen.
To find them, okay? She said, we need to put a rock in our mouths.
Right.
So we will not say anything contrary to the word of God,
right.
So the enemy will not locate us, our predator, locate us where we may be in our faith walk.
Right.
Shut up. Keep your mouth closed. Put a rock in it. And she said the rock we place in our mouth should be the rock of ages, which is
yeah.
the word of God.
Yeah.
That analogy was just on point.
Yeah.
It was on point. So we won't be squawking negative thinking and words, not using the right prayer for the situation, just out of ignorance at times. Sometimes we pray out of ignorance. There's no other way to put it. But when you learn better, you do better. So I've poured this little nugget into you about prayer. So now you need to expand on that. Know better, to do better. But asking God if it's his will for us to be healed is not scripture. It's not scripture. He's already said clearly in his word. Clearly, he said in his word, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. So why are we asking him, if it's your will, Father, heal me, be healed? No. It's in his word. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Asking him to not leave us when he has clearly stated in his word, he will never leave us nor forsake us. It's clear. Stop squawking. Put a rock in your mouth. Is prayer just prayer? No. Prayer is not just prayer. There are rules and guidelines that God has outlined in his word for us to pray based on the situation. Educate ourselves with the word of God, just like we do anything else in our lives. For our jobs or things that we like doing, we educate ourselves concerning that. Why we won't educate ourselves concerning the word of God? Why we won't educate ourselves concerning the word of God. What God is saying and has said in his word, the word is living. It's a living word. So y'all, I'm going to end this by saying, no, prayer is not just prayer. All right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Phone 334-520-7538 or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.